Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles this morning and go to Psalms 119, kind of right in the center of the Bible. Psalm 119. I want to just say this morning, I'm thankful for all the folks that are here with us today. What a blessing it is to be in God's house. You know, we oftentimes take for granted the goodness of God and all that He's done. The beginning of this week, I don't know how many of you over my way here in town had some terrible storms Monday and Tuesday night, and then just sometimes the Monday night, the rain wasn't falling, but boy, the lightning was, and it just, my kids weren't scared, but the dog was. And he is losing his mind in that place. He thought he was going to try to bark the lightning away. And then Tuesday, we had some folks over, and man, the rain came down and the lightning struck. And man, I saw it began to hail. And I mean, it was, you know, I don't know. I reference everything. I still have kids that eat cereal. So, you know, a good size like a Lucky Charm, you know, I mean, it was coming down. You know, I mean, I don't know what it is, what kind of cereal you eat, but I mean, it was pretty good size. It wasn't enough to bust the windshield out, but I thought just as the rain came down and the winds blew, I thought, man, I'm so glad that my life is founded upon a rock. None of that time I worried about my eternal destiny. I wasn't worried about all the things that could happen. I knew where I was headed, amen. And even in the storms of this life, although those are storms, you know, we go through a lot of different kind of storms in life. Every one of us find our place, our times of really rough trials of this life. And sometimes they're trials of our own making, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're things that we live with because of things in the past, or sometimes it's just kind of what I want to preach on this morning is just a question. I want to ask you this morning, are you in the groove, or are you stuck in a rut? You know, the two words, the two terms themselves are just, they're almost the same exact thing. The difference between the two is one, it has good terminology linked towards it, and the other doesn't. Now, I come from the country, and I know what it's like to be stuck in a rut. And when you're stuck in a rut doesn't give you speed. It doesn't help you go faster. It doesn't push you on. It slows you down. It makes you feel like I don't know if I'll ever get out of these ruts or not. I remember a time we went on a married couples activity, and the person that was there was lived on a national park out here in Florida, and it was preserved land, and they had a helicopter pad beside their house. They lived so far out in the middle of nowhere, you know, in case something bad happened. They had a piece of land squared off. So, and I mean, we turned off the blacktop road out towards Poinciana Way, and we drove 40 minutes when we left the blacktop before we got to their house. You say, I didn't know we had any land like that. I had it locked in four-wheel drive for 40 minutes. And one time they had taken a bus, all the minivans, everybody left their minivan. You know what I'm talking about. Minivan ain't going to go through that, right? I'm not teaching you science, am I? Amen. I don't look like a minivan guy. I have owned one, though. Anyway, so, but I was in my Ford four-wheel drive Excursion with a 7.3 diesel. Am I helping anybody now? I mean, I'm excited about it. Anyway, so I had it locked in, and, you know, it was this dead sand in Florida. And, I mean, a couple times the bus was loaded full of people, and it wouldn't have got through the sand if it hadn't have been loaded with people. And a couple times it started to shimmy and shake and start to wheel hop, you know, and I seen the people inside the bus jumping, trying to give it some traction, you know, and I mean, my wife, you can imagine, you know, she was very calm, because, you know, the bus slowed down, but I didn't. I was in four-wheel drive, and I knew if I let go, I was gonna get stuck, and so, I mean, I ever so gently kissed the back of that bus with the front bumper of my truck. And she's like, what are you doing? You know, in a kind and easy way. Amen? And I didn't really answer. I was just like, I can't let out of it. I just can't stop. And the bus started to pull away from us after I kissed it. I mean, I didn't even leave a dent on either one of us, but I wasn't going to let up. You know, and a lot of times we feel like quitting sometimes when we get in that struggle. And feel like we got to pull. But a lot of times, you know, we got to acknowledge where we're at. A lot of times we're in a rut and we're stuck in a rut. The only way we're going to get out of it, a lot of times we can't get out of it by ourselves. The only way we made it, we finally got to a place we didn't let up until we got to hard ground again. And I kind of started everything out this morning just letting you know, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's the hard place, and sometimes we can get away from him into some of our cares, some of our worries, into places we want to go, and we get out into the miry clay. And I'm glad that he set my feet upon a rock, but folks, I know people, and you may know people, and you may be one of those people that left the solid rock of your salvation and walked back out. I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but you went and put yourself back in a rut, in a place that you never thought you'd find yourself after you got saved. You may find yourself, listen, the psalmist finds themselves in this place. This whole chapter of the Bible is given to the love of the Word of God. It's not a person that's writing that doesn't love the book, that doesn't know God, he just finds himself stuck in a rut. You say, what do you mean? I want you to see it with me this morning. But, the opposite of being stuck in a rut is to get in the groove. And he finds his groove here in the chapter. He's going to find what's going to get him back in the way. In this chapter, I don't think I have to be coy this morning or to hide it. This chapter is all about the Word of God. He's going to get back to a love of the Word of God. He's going to get back to a place where he gets in the groove, and all of a sudden, that stuck in a rut, that feeling and the things he's going to describe at the beginning are going to be back on point. I want you to see here in verse 25, he says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." I want you to see here in the scripture, we begin in verse 25, and much has been said, and the chapter is a wonderful chapter broken down into so many different divisions. But here, this part, this section that we read today is divided out separately, and he begins and gave me the mindset there. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." Do you know, when we talk about getting stuck in a rut or getting in a groove, I've never been in a rut where if I had to get out of the vehicle, I didn't get some dirt and mud on me. There's never been a place where I wasn't stuck in a rut or somewhere that there wasn't dust. Even if I didn't get completely stuck, if I kept moving, in that day I was telling you about when I put the wind down and the vehicle was churning the sand as hard as it could go, I was eating some dust from the other people in the rut with me. It wasn't a place that I wanted to stay. It wasn't a place that I longed to be. It was a place I longed to get through and get out of in my life. I wanted to get in the groove. Do you know there's a difference? Every place, you've been to a house where they don't have a paved driveway, you can see the path. It's not rut so deep that you're going to get stuck in, but you can see a clear path to the house. And you may not be able to see the house, but you can see the two tire marks where there ain't no grass there because somebody's been following it on up to the house. Do you know that's the groove that's been cut to get to and from the place that you want to go? In the Christian life, I found in my life that, when I go over and over again, I make good habits in my life, I can make some bad habits that'll get me in a rut. They'll keep me from cutting a good groove. I like NASCAR. I don't know about you. I don't watch a lot of NASCAR now. I don't have a lot of time for it. But when I was a boy, my dad loved Dale Earnhardt. Loved him. I mean, collected his memorabilia, thought he was the best race car driver. He thought, my dad personally believed Rubin was racing, and you could tell from my bus story, so do I. Amen. My dad loved him. We watched racing. I remember Sunday, we'd eat chicken and dumplings, we'd watch racing. Other people go, "Why you watch them getting, they just keep going in circles." He said, no, watch that guy. He's in the groove. You watch everybody, they're racing. A lot of guys are out there on the track. But one guy has found the fastest way his car can get around the track. He found a place where his setup, what they call it, you know, he put just the right staggered tires on his car, and they loaded weight on just the right side so it didn't weigh the car down, but it threw the car into the corner just right so that when he would hit the corner, instead of losing speed, he picked up speed. Instead of downshifting in the wrong place, the car was geared just right for the track. And when he came into the corner and he went out, it was pleasurable. It wasn't, I can't get any kind of speed. I'm in a rut. You know, the Christian life is set just like that. Do you know we have a book that can help us to set up the car to get in the groove for Jesus Christ? Rather than going through the rat race of this life and feeling like we're weighed down into a groove and we're in a rut, we're stuck in this rut, we can hit a groove. And all of a sudden, when I, as the psalmist is going to tell us, pick up speed for the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could just give a testimony of my own life, folks, I've been in the church a long time, and I've seen a lot of people that serve God, and they'll find themselves and they'll stick themselves in a rut. And they'll want to blame it on everybody under the sun. But it isn't until that they take a good long look in the mirror and realize who put them in the rut to start with. And realize, hey, I don't want to be here anymore. And the same person that got them in there is the same person that's going to get them out when they make a choice. Now, I just want to say this, and if I could make a general statement this morning, here, this guy in verses 25 through this beginning here, look at verse 25. The psalmist says, I'm in a rut. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. He's not going forward. He is stuck. I mean, he said, I mean, my soul, I don't feel like, I don't know about you folks, but this sounds like being buried to me. You know, I've buried some tractors out in the field sometimes where we went out and, you know, maybe one other guy was with me and we got them stuck and we have to pull them out. I remember going to one guy. My dad and I went out there. He had been driving one of the tractors and he had this big, I mean, it was a big coal packer behind the tractor. And I mean, he had buried the disc in the coal packer so deep that my dad said, we just might as well throw dirt on that thing and then let it grow coal packers because it is buried. I mean, he had planted that thing out in the field instead of pulling it through. And I mean, I've seen some places and some people that felt so up to their neck. They were buried so deep in the sand. You've watched the cowboy movies. People that felt hopeless and had nothing else, they're buried up to their neck in the sand. Everything can come get at them, but they have no defense of their own. And Christians can find themselves in this world and in this life stuck in a rut so deep that the only thing you feel like you have no defense. I have no help. I have no way out. I got nothing to do. You know, this guy finds himself just right there. He feels like he's a dead man if something doesn't happen. If something doesn't change, I'm buried up to my neck. If God doesn't intervene, if I don't do something about this, Look, he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Not his body, his soul. This is life or death for me. This is not just in the body experience in the flesh, but this is eternal for me. This is too much for me. And he says, it cleaveth unto the dust. He says, quicken thou me according to thy word. How do you feel when you get in a rut? I got no energy. I need to be quickened. I feel like I'm weighed down with all these things. And he says in verse 26, I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Do you know what the greatest thing that you can do for God is to acknowledge, one, you have to go to yourself and realize deep down in your soul that you're stuck in a rut. You have to first acknowledge where you are. And then you got to realize who can get you out. You can't get yourself out. Do you know, nobody in the cowboy movie, I've seen this one movie, I think that they gave, you know, somebody gave the guy chopsticks and he tried to start flicking the dirt out with chopsticks in his mouth. You know, when you're buried up to your neck, you're not going to dig yourself out, are you? You need somebody to come along and help you get out. You need somebody to pull you up out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a solid rock again. You know who the rock is. You're saved and on your way to heaven. You just got yourself stuck again. I can tell you times where I've had to call somebody, and I've told you before I had somebody come jump me, but it wasn't too many times I went out. I never was one of those guys that went off, and I was a farmer, so I didn't like when people run off in the field and left people ruts. You know what I'm talking about? Now, if you were one of those people, amen, God will forgive you for that. There'll be anyway. So I'll move on. But I just, you know, I mean, I know, you know, usually it was when I got in a place that was just wet and we had to get through it. And I was going from place to place, sometime in the pasture when we were trying to go put hay off or something like that. And I had to go through that place where we had marked it and it had been a bunch of rain. And man, I'd get in there and I'd try to run through it with all I could because I believed I could make it through it. I knew I probably should have just gone around and went in a different gate. But I tried to take the shortest path to where I should go. And I saw that mud hole and I thought, well, if I hit it wide open, I can make it through it. You know, a lot of Christians find themselves stuck in some place they never intended to be, but they thought that they could get through on their own. They thought that if they just, I mean, man, like, I'm okay. I know what the Bible says, and I'll be okay. I'll just make it. You know, too many times we find ourselves, but you know, we serve a God that loves us. He knew that we were a sinner long before we ever really came to the knowledge. I remember being born into my family, and you know, it took me a while. I'm not the sharpest box, you know, knife in the drawer. And so it took me a while to come to a place where I realized that I was a sinner and that I needed saving. You say, well, some people can get that at 4 and 5 years old when they hear it over and over again, but I didn't get saved that early. Maybe you didn't get saved that early. Maybe you didn't realize, you know, well, I'm bad, but I wasn't that bad. No, folks, this guy realizes exactly where he's at. He realized, you know, and since I've gotten saved, I realize there's some mud holes in this life that I shouldn't have taken all through, and I thought I could get myself through them. But I have a God in heaven that is strong enough to pull me out. I got a God in heaven that's strong enough and willing to come and throw the rope to me every time and hook me up and pull me up out of that. He says, I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Serve a God. You know, sometimes one of the things you wonder why I pray and I don't feel like I hear from God. I read my Bible, but I don't feel like God speaks to me. When was the last time you just got honest with God and told him where you're at? When was the last time not confessed to some man? No man's going to be able to help you. When was the last time you went and repented before God and said, God, here it is. I know it ain't right. I know this didn't please you. God, I want to get it before you. I want to get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. I just want to get it over with. I need to get out of this rut. God, I need help. This guy comes and says, I've declared my ways. Do you think this was declaring his ways and it made it pleased God? No, he wasn't saying that. He said, I've declared my ways. Because afterwards, he's going to ask God to teach him his ways. I've declared my ways, God. I've got myself stuck. I've been in a rut. God, I want you to get me in the groove again. God, I want you to lift me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and let me get quickened for you. He says, I have declared my ways. Thou hast heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. All these words, thy word in verse 25, verse 26, thy statutes. You know, many a time we speak to God and we pray to him, but we don't go to the word of God for answer. You say, preacher, I think I've heard you say that before. Listen, the answer doesn't change. Week to week, day to day, prayer and Bible reading are the staple of the Christian life. If I want to speak to God and he is going to speak to me, I'm going to pray. I always need to kind of come to him with some thanksgiving if I'm a believer. And if there's something I know that's happened that's between me and him, I need to get that cleaned up along the way. And then I need to be able to ask for others and then maybe ask for myself. You know, that prayer that I can pray to him, boy, how terrible would I be if I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and then I expect God to drop the answer out of heaven when the answer from heaven has already been dropped. And then, or I'll go to the answer from heaven, but it doesn't seem to speak to me because I've never gone to God first and declared my ways and asked for forgiveness and got it under the blood. He says here, hearest me. Thou hearest me. You know, God is God. I believe that God is always listening for the repentant person to come with a broken heart. He's always waiting. He's always waiting for us to come and say, God, here's my ways. They ain't the right way. I know I've been in your word enough to know that it ain't the right way. But God, would you teach me your statutes? Would you teach me your ways? Look in verse 27. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. You know why most people get stuck in a rut anyway or get outside of God's word or go into their own way? Why they get that way is because they know God's way. If you grew up in a good church and you've heard the Bible preached, even living in America and growing up, if you grew up in old America, there were some morals taught to you that you know the way that you should go, but you decided not to go because you didn't understand. You know, I preach this as a youth pastor. I'll preach this as the pastor. I'll preach and preach and preach. Understanding the Word of God is important. Studying to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This book has got so much in it, and we not only need to know what it says, but we need to try to follow God and understand. You know, most people in the world today, we've even come to a day where a Christian doesn't know how, they don't know how to do a funeral. They don't know how to bury somebody because the Word of God lays out how a Christian ought to bury somebody. It lays out how we ought to have a service. But we've left that. People don't preach it anymore because they think the Word of God offends. The Word of God does separate, but it should never offend the Christian that wants to humbly and obediently follow the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us how to raise our family, not to get your family stuck in a rut. Out in the world wondering how I'm going to get my family out of this rut. Get back in the book. Get back into church. Get back to where God can pull you out. Be repentant and say, God, I'm going to turn my ways didn't work out. I didn't understand your way. I went out here and tried to do it my way and got us stuck in this thing. But God, I know you can pull us up out of the miry clay. God, I know you can get us back on the right path. God, I know you can take me from this rut and get me in the groove that you want my family to run into until you return. You say, preacher, well, why are you always getting on that? Because we don't often follow God and listen up to him and study his word until we understand. Do you know I have people from the past, and listen, this isn't popular. I'm probably going to offend somebody. And I want you to know this. It is not my intent to get after you. I'm not preaching after your sin or trying to hurt you right now. I'm telling us about Christian ignorance in our society. We live in a day and age where Christians don't know what the Bible says about tattoos. And if they do, they don't care because they don't understand. Do you know this book has everything to say about that? But now the world, it's become so socially accepted in the world that we don't care what God says about it. But this book deals with it. Maybe we've met so many Christians that are so far away from God, they wouldn't know which book is his word if it hit them on top of the head. We've gotten to a place where their word on tattoos is better than God's word. You say, preacher, you're awful ripping on it. Listen, I'm just trying to follow the Holy Spirit here. Psalmist acknowledges to himself, listen, this is what I lack. I lack understanding. Do you know understanding is so much, I don't know about you, but as a school year progresses, and I know I'm taking a little bit of time here, but you don't want your kid just to have knowledge. That's where the world has come to. We used to want people to understand. Do you know through ages of history, we not only taught people things, but we sent them out to be apprentices. To do an internship because they knew the knowledge part wasn't going to get them past. They needed to understand why they did it. And every one of you that have ever done anything worth doing in this life, you realize you can know and be taught about something, but until you actually go do it and watch somebody do it and hear a man say why they do it that way, you really don't understand. Understanding is important, not just for a trade, but for the Christian life. You know, it's important for you to know because your kids are going to ask you why. You say, I don't let my kids ask me why. You do what I say. Well, that see how far that takes you. That'll last until 13, maybe. Maybe 14. And then someday you'll realize you don't just have a rebel, but you have a kid who is starving to know why. Because they truthfully want to know. Why do we go to church? Why do we pray? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we dress different than everybody else in the world? Why do we speak different than everybody else in the world? Why are we expecting to go to someplace different than everybody else that doesn't know Jesus? Folks, I don't know about you, but your child will come to that place. Our children, our grandchildren, they'll come to that place. Wouldn't you rather them come to you for the answer than go to the world? The sad day that we live in is because we don't go ahead and teach understanding and take them to a place where they can learn that. They ask Siri or Alexa. And I'm going to tell you, look, Wikipedia doesn't like the Baptist. I'm just going to tell you what I teach about Baptist history and what Siri and Wikipedia teach about Baptist history are two different things. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, make me to understand, when we are stuck in a rut, the greatest thing that will help us stay in the groove is understanding. The greatest race car drivers, I mean of all time, usually started out as a mechanic. And because they can tell the driver, they understand what's going on with the car. They say, this isn't right. Could you tweak this on the next round? When I come in and I need something, I know how to communicate. Do you know one of the greatest problems in relationships, not only in the world, but in the church, is communication? Between us and our children, between us and each other, between us and our families. Folks, I'm just going to tell you this morning, you may be, I don't know what rut you're stuck in today, but one of the things that helps us greatly, I can go to my family who maybe doesn't believe like I do politically. They may not believe like me biblically, but I can tell you this, I know what I believe. And if we get into it, listen, not an argument, but I can tell them because I understand. Not just because the preacher said, or the Bible says, well, where does it say it? You say, preacher, you're getting after us. No, I'm just saying, I don't want you to find yourself in a rut. And if you find yourself in a rut, I want you to know who you can go to, and his name is God. And when you come out, instead of driving right back in the same ruts, nothing will make a person as mad. I'm just going to tell you, you know, you don't just have to get ruts. Ruts can show up. They don't have to be cut. I live in the north, okay? It's not just ice that falls from the sky. There's this white fluffy stuff called snow. And it'll get so deep, you stick your car in it. And it can happen overnight. You don't see it coming. You say, well, it feels cold. You walk outside, and if you're from the north, you know. You can walk outside, and you can feel, this is not just cold. This is snow weather. It could happen tonight. And you find yourself out there with a shovel. Or if you're a man, you have a piece of equipment. Right? Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, and I can tell you, I had to shovel my truck, my wife in there, we're driving along, not a four-wheel drive, but, you know, and a girl stuck herself. She tried, you know, she's got this little Volkswagen car, and instead of me getting off into the deeper snow, she pulled her car off over there. So I felt obliged after she stuck herself to get her out. I dug the car out, I pushed the car out, and I told her, have a good night. She drove back into the same ruts. I dug her out, pushed her out. She drove right back in the same ruts. I dug her out, I pushed her out, and I said, roll your window down. And I said, if you drive it back in there, I'm taking you home. And she made it out that time. Hey, folks, you ever think God feels like that about us? You ever feel like sometimes God digs us out and pulls us out, and then we drive it right back in the same ruts? It's because we don't understand why we're doing it. We don't understand God's word enough not to put ourselves. He says, make me to understand in verse 27, the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. You know, when I understand what God did in my life, I've talked about this over and over again. I remember giving my testimony of salvation, how I walked down and got saved. But you know, the more that I learned about that, God just didn't start with me, but there was somebody that reached my dad and reached my family and worked their way through my family, I can start telling the story a lot farther back and say, this is what God has done in my life. Look at what God did. And it came all the way from the cross of Calvary. I can talk of your wondrous works. This morning we got up and people came to me already this morning. I've had people tell me, one of the men in our church called me the other day and encouraged me. He said, and if I said his name, you'd know his name, but I mean, he was near death door. I mean, just, he was encouraged and having a spell, wanted to call the preacher and tell him about it. He said, I was cleaning my car out. He said, you know, during this COVID thing, I could have gone to heaven. I mean, I was knocking on death's door. He said, I was cleaning the car out, and I seen this piece of paper that had been riding around for a long time. We're talking months now. And he pulled the check. It was a check, not just a piece of paper in the visor. He said, the last thing I did before I went to the hospital was write my tithe check and stick it in the car because I was going to church Sunday morning. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but you say, well, what's he praising God? Because he understands something about God's principles in his word. And he got excited until he realized that he never put that in. Right? Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, we come to God, and sometimes we think about all those things, but man, there's so many things when we understand God's way and his word, there's so many things we have to praise him for. There's so many times we watch him be faithful. When we tithe and we watch God take that 90% of our money we have left and take it farther than we ever could when we had 100, man, we have something to praise God for. When we watch God answer prayers, when we believe in him and we beg God for big things and we watch God come through, we go, man, I understand that God is working in my life, and I see through his precepts that if I just follow him in it, I can't help but talk of his wondrous works. He says, my soul melteth. This is the second time that we've seen soul. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word, under thy word. I don't know about you, but the world has no power like the Holy Spirit living inside the Christian to strengthen us on day by day, not only to understand the word of God. Without a doubt, people are sitting in here going, I just can't understand it. You have a power outside of yourself, way down deep in your soul. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can beg the author of the book to help you understand it so that you might be able to proclaim his word to others and tell them about his wondrous works. God, help me understand. There's an inner working Holy Spirit that will help and teach you his word. Strengthen me. The blessing of it is he strengthened. You know, the world says draw strength from within, and they have no power within themselves to draw strength. But the Christian has power within to draw from that the world doesn't know anything about. He goes on and says, remove from me the way of lying. You know really what he's just saying? He said, I've been lying to myself all this time. I've been stuck in this rut, and I've been trying to blame it on so-and-so, trying to blame it on, you know what the world does? They blame it on mom, blame it on dad, blame it on everybody that raised them or all the other circumstances. But you know, it's when we come to the place and we stop not only lying to others, but we stop lying to ourselves. I stayed in this rut way too long. God, help me to stop lying to myself. One of the greatest things that we could ever do, listen, grant me thy law graciously. Do you know, out of all this, and I could preach a message simply on this, and I will not, and grant me thy law graciously. In the New Testament age, just the Old Testament passage of Scripture, a song that is sung. And he says here, Lord, the law is a schoolmaster that brings me unto Christ. And we preached that last week. But what a blessing it is to beg God. God, teach me your law, the boundaries, the places that are going to keep me safe, but do it graciously. Hey, folks, you can't ask for anything more than having a gracious teacher, a gracious principal that realizes that you are stuck in a rut and that you are willing to go the right way if they would just lead you on graciously. Folks, he goes on and finishes with this. I have chosen the way of truth. You know, everybody that gets in the groove, somehow, some way, after they have been in the rut, or maybe they've seen others in the rut, they realize the groove is way over here. This is the groove. This is where God wants me to be. This is the place God wants me to drive. You know, I don't know about you, and maybe I'm kind of speaking outside of your comfort zone with racing. But you know, a groove sometimes where everybody else thinks the fast lane is, isn't the fast lane. And they find that place on the racetrack that may seem like it's farther around the track than everybody else. And I'll be honest with you, in the Christian life, the loop that you're going to make in this life over and over again is it doesn't look just like the world's. The world's real wide, it says the gate is. But the Bible says narrow is the way. You find that groove, it's a small place in your life. That's just right. God built it for you. He gave you a church. He gave you people that will help you. He gave you a word of God. He gave you a family. And that niche, that groove is just made for you. The fastest groove that you can run is getting to a place after you've removed all those other things. You've been pulled out of the rut. Choosing the way God has laid out before you. Do you know, I mean, even down to vocation. You know, not everybody. I mean, we're looking at a vast group of people who have all kinds of different jobs, who have all that make up the body of Christ, but everybody doing their, when we all get on our groove as individuals in a family, all of a sudden the church gets in a groove, doesn't it? When every family is thinking about missions and is thinking about souls, is thinking about doing what God, I mean, getting on God's page, because his groove is headed somewhere and it has a purpose and a plan. And when everybody, all of a sudden the entire thing starts moving. And moves faster than it ever could by itself. People hear the word of God. People around the word hear the word of God, because collectively we've gotten in a groove and we're headed in the same direction. He says, and this is what I love. He knows what it has been. This psalmist knows what it has been to be stuck. He knows the definition of the word because he was there. He says in verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Do you know every one of us in this place know what it's like to cling to something or to get into some place? They've been in the ditch. You've been somewhere where you just didn't feel like you could ever get out. And when you get in the groove, you'll find a place that you never want to get out of. And you say, I've chosen the way. I've stuck to thy testimonies. I've chosen this. Folks, I don't know about you, but I chose this life a long time ago. Nobody twisted my arm and made me a preacher or decided that the way that I would go would be a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. But because of a long time ago, I saw his testimonies. And I said, I'm going to stick to your testimonies. Do you know what being in the groove is? It's saying, I'm sticking to this line. I'm going to run this race, and I'm going to stick to the testimonies of the Almighty. He says, oh, Lord, put me not to shame. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I know this. If I'm not careful in the Christian life, and I know where the time is. I just want you to listen to me now. You know what really derails most people that get out of the rut and get in the groove is if they're not careful, they get lifted up with pride. Look at me go. Look how fast I can drive this thing. Woo! Don't y'all wish you could go like this? If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves there. And the high and lifted up, the Bible says, shall be abased. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get lifted up with pride. I want to make sure that everybody realizes that I wouldn't be in this groove if it wasn't for the Almighty. I wouldn't be in this groove if it wasn't for a Savior that left heaven and died on Calvary and paid for my sin. Because this old sinner, he was on his way to hell. But Jesus left heaven and pulled me out of a ditch that I could never have got out of on my own. He pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And now listen, he has established my goings. I chose him a long time ago. And I want to stay close to him. And I don't ever want to get lifted up with pride. I want my children and my children's children to echo verse 32, like the psalmist, I will run the way of thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. I don't know about you folks, but since I've been saved, my heart, my burden, if I could say it that way, it didn't get smaller. My ability to love after I gave everything to Jesus Christ didn't shrink. It got bigger. I didn't just have enough love for my family, but God gave me enough love for my church family. God didn't just give me enough love for my church family, but he taught me that he loves the whole world. And even though they're not going to love me back, I need to go out and tell them about the one that loves me and died for me. Hey, folks, if I'm in the groove, I can't help but scream out the window when I'm blowing by everybody Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I want to paint it on my car. I want it to be my anthem of my life. I want to run this race, and when I get to the end, if I get to the end of my life, look at the next verse. I wasn't going to read it, but I want to read it. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. You know, when I turn the last corner and I see the checkered flag, most of us don't get to know the last day that we'll run the race. I want to be faithful all the way into the end. And I want, again, if God tarries his coming, and I believe I'm going to be raptured out, not put in, but I want on my tombstone, Jesus saves. I want the, after my life is over and my race has been run, I want people to still be able to look back at the laps that I cut, the groove that I ran, and go, he couldn't have run like that without somebody with him. He couldn't have run that way if he wasn't saved. He couldn't have done that, stuck in a rut like the rest of the world. He was saved on his way to heaven. That was God. Hey, folks, today, I know everybody in the building, I believe the majority of you are saved, but if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the rut that you need to climb out of is being lost and on your way to hell. See, there's two places that you're going to end up in this life, and there's two directions that a man can go. One is to heaven and one is to hell. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you never accepted his finished work of Calvary, then you're not going to make it to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Folks, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you to get in the groove. How do I get in the groove? You walk an old-fashioned aisle, come down in the groove that are on the edges of each pew. And you come down to let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe you've gotten in the groove and you've accepted Jesus Christ, but maybe you've never joined the church or been baptized. Why don't you step out and stay in the groove that you started out and join a local church, join the body of believers this morning. Maybe you hear you say, preacher, I've been saved, I've been baptized, but I feel like I'm stuck in this rut. Why don't you come this morning and meet with your God and say, God, I need you to pull me out of this miry clay that I put myself in. God, I need you to help me. Get me back on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and back into the purpose and plan that you've had for me all along. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The musicians are going to come, but let me say this. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm inviting you to meet me here in the front. I'm inviting you to step out and come and let us take a Bible while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around but me and God. As the musicians begin to play and sing, why don't you step out and meet me in the front? We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and wait,
you bow your heads, close your eyes. I see so many have done that. Why don't you pray this morning? If you're saved and you know you're on your way to heaven, why don't you pray for someone else to get saved this morning? If you're here and you don't know Christ and you're scared to step out and come, please, just while heads are bowed, nobody's looking but me and the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you step out and come, step out in the lane and just come down and let me take my hand and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. As Brother Bert sings, you do that. Step out and come.
just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich is he.
Let you be seated this morning. Let me say this. I know that we have some folks in the building this morning that's your first time with us. If you're not sure, you're on your way to heaven. You don't know that for sure. I'd love to meet you right here after the service and take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I know it's a tough thing. We come into a day where it's scary to step out and come.